Listening Dog Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman. Seaman's legends of the game.
He's an FA Cup winning goalkeeper, a member of Wimbledon's crazy gang. Welcome, Dave Besant.
So how you been, mate?
Oh, good. Yeah. Apart from I've been playing a bit of golf and I've got this plantar fasciitis.
Oh, yes. I've done that.
On my heel, it's killing.
Yeah, I did that about 3 years ago playing cricket. I had to wear a boot. I had to wear a boot for about three, four weeks. Oh, mate,
there's
honestly
a running theme with you two former goalkeepers, can I say. You're both crooked.
No, we're both old. That's what it is.
That's the thing. We're at that age now where things start to happen to you that you've got no control over.
Yeah. Well, I played cricket literally about 9 days ago and pulled my hamstring, like proper pulled it running for the ball. So yeah, I've been on the treatment table.
Are your reactions just as good though? Like a cat?
Adopted cat.
Brilliant. Bez, what I wanted to ask you is how I love that.
Is, a bit of a refreshment.
Yeah.
Dave has just produced a beer already.
Yeah.
We won't say what time we're recording. No, it's late enough. It's fine.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you was how much has goalkeeping changed since we were around? Because I know that you've been coaching until quite recently.
Yeah, I mean, you were very fortunate that you had Bob Wilson as your goalkeeping coach, because a lot of clubs didn't have goalkeeping coaches. I can remember all the clubs in London having a get together with their goalkeepers at Bisham Abbey to be coached by Bob Wilson, Mike Kelly, Alan Hodgkinson, and Eric. I think Eric Steele was a goalkeeper. He was still playing in Eric Steele, because I remember they had cones, and you hit shots and a cone spun out in the air and split his eye.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. this is one of the courses that was run by the goalkeeping coaches. But say we didn't all have goalkeeping coaches, but obviously as years have progressed, I've gone into goalkeeping coaching and you have to adjust and adapt with the times. When me and you were playing, the ball come back to us, it was either you could pick it up or you weren't allowed to pick it up, and you just humped it as far as you could really get it. We didn't try and play out the back, but obviously nowadays the more ball retention is important in team styles of playing, so we have to bring that into our goalkeeping training. And it's a lot of passing out, moving, dropping off, transferring ball from one foot to the other foot, probably in our day we had a strong foot and we had a foot that we literally used to stand on, and that was it.
Exactly.
Whereas nowadays you see the goalkeepers are very comfortable and capable of transferring a ball from one foot to the other foot and clearing or passing it to their teammates further up the pitch. So you have to adjust with that. And the other thing that frustrates a little bit is the handling.
Yeah.
Because when I serve goalkeepers, we focus on catching the ball. And as soon as they go from the training field to even a practice match, that goes out the window.
Right.
The thought of trying to catch a ball goes out the window. It's less deflect, caught. Because, sometimes I don't think they realise that after times that they deflect for corners, they're putting themselves under more pressure. Yeah. The only goalkeeper that I've seen really currently is Alisson at Liverpool, who does look to try and catch the ball even when it's a diving shot. He looks to try and catch it. They're the main things. And obviously, we all know what the balls do nowadays. The balls move around a lot more than they used to in our day. The weight of the ball has changed quite significantly.
I tell you what else has changed is the rugby-style tackling on the goal line. So clearly that opening game for Bernd Leno for Arsenal against Brentford, Arsenal deserved to be on the losing side. But for that second goal, did you see how much he was getting tugged on the goal line? I mean, it. What were your thoughts on that? Is that going to be something that creeps into the game more?
I think, well, I know what I would have done. I wouldn't have let myself get in that position to be pinned by
exactly
Pontus Janssen. That's either a little bit of naivety, maybe just wasn't now. You just don't let people pin you like that. Even if you walk them away, and just as the ball's coming, you give them a little nudge away from you. That's acceptable nowadays. And he got himself in a position where he just couldn't move and attack the ball, and it should have been his ball to deal with.
Yeah, but it didn't even look like he tried to move out of the way. No. You know, he didn't like try and push him or anything. You know, and I've always said that as soon as somebody comes in on you like that, you get your arms up in the air so you can't get pinned in, and then you shout to the referee, "Ref, just watch this." And then if he's still doing it, take him somewhere where you know you don't want to be, because he'll follow you. And then just as the ball's coming in, get into your position. Because then if he tries to block you as you're moving, then it's so much more obvious. It's just like his experience, and he should have got loads of it. And I was just so disappointed in the way that he dealt with that situation. And then his reaction wasn't big enough either. You know, he just put his arms up, and it was as though he just put his arms up because he'd let a goal in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that I think that he was probably thinking, I'm going to get a foul for this.
Yeah,
you know, but the referee's got to see it, and all right, we've got VAR, which can help, but you know, you can probably say that he could have really got away from him if he wanted to.
Yeah, and I saw
if
it.
You want to get away from that position? If someone's got, like, you know, we got held in a few neck holds, you know, things like that. But if you want to get away from him, you get
they
away.
They must
from
have
him.
Been tall players.
Yeah, most of them grabbed us in you know where.
I was going to say exactly. We had a few different things. There was a lot more going. I think it again in our day, it was a lot more humour in the game. You know, that we had people we knew, and the things that used to go on set plays when someone would come up to you and have a little tickle, undo your laces and things like that. You know, it's just
a little tickle.
Ridiculous, some of the things that went on.
Oh yeah, brilliant. What do you think is going to happen this weekend, mate?
I think it's going to be another tough day for the Gooners.
I know.
You know, I think that obviously people are already looking at Arteta and asking questions, and Chelsea have obviously just strengthened in a massive way. You know, getting Lukaku in is a fantastic sign, because I used to like Chelsea when Giroud played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he gave them a different dimension, a different aspect, and a different target. You know, I mean, Tammy was a big lad, but he wasn't as strong in the air as Giroud was.
Yeah.
But I just think that, you know, it might add a different dimension to Timo Werner's game. You know, Werner's he's got that pace and he can stretch teams, but unfortunately for him at the moment, he hasn't been finishing. And Lukaku will like to play with his back to the goal, set it up, maybe get Timo Werner running past him and then getting in the box to receive a cross or a little pass set back from Werner. So I think that it could change Werner's game, but I just think Lukaku is a massive plus for Chelsea.
I saw Werner doing an interview as they were like with the speculation that Lukaku was coming, and he was really excited about it. You know, the fact that Lukaku would be the target man and be able to flick it on for him and use him as a, you know, to hold the ball up and just play him in. So he looked really excited about it.
I think he feels that he'd be the one that will be playing alongside him as well. I think that, you know, it could be Havertz the one that's the make way for Lukaku. So I feel that Werner's quite pleased that Lukaku's type of player has come into the club.
Yeah. You're mentioning all these attackers. I mean, there's Ziyech as well, Pulisic, Mason Mount, Havertz. Who are you keeping an eye on, as well as Lukaku, if you're Leno?
Yeah, exactly. He'll probably won't be looking at the centre-halves because he knows that they're the ones who cause him problems.
I think for me, he needs to keep his eye on his own back four.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't... Listen, it was always going to be a tough game for Arsenal going to Brentford. Mm. First game at the top flight. Although the stadium's been... They've been playing here for 6 to 8 months, they haven't had no fans in. So it was always going to be a tough night for them. But you know, the performance was disappointing.
It
they
was
didn't
poor,
show too
it?
Much character, did they?
No, they didn't show hardly anything. you know, and like Bob Wilson's been on, and he was like, yeah, but we had like 65% possession and this, and I'm like, Bob, I said, like, don't go there, because, you know, we were really poor in that game. You know, their goalie made one really good save, but, you know, we didn't really threaten, and, you know, people are saying, you know, that we got out for, and they had more enthusiasm and more desire and all that sort of stuff. The only good thing about this weekend was that, so like, Arsenal got beat Friday, Leeds got thrashed Saturday, Tottenham won on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But luckily, I was away salmon fishing on Friday and Saturday, so I didn't have to. So I didn't have to put up with all of it. I was just looking at the scores on my phone. I'm thinking, oh no, oh, I'll just have to have another cast then.
It wasn't your weekend, David.
No. This was probably a thing that you lot don't know about Dave as well. I don't know if I should tell him this, Dave, but we used to, obviously, when we got together with England, we used to room together at Burnham Beaches. And unfortunately, Dave used to bring Carp Monthly along to the room. And I used to bring magazines that are a little bit more interesting.
But if you were having trouble sleeping...
Yeah, the top, they're the ones.
If you were having trouble sleeping, though, insomniacs, that's what you reach for, isn't it?
Exactly. Carp Monthly. And Carp Fever. It's true, though. I used to be on my fishing stuff.
Was it confusing when you were on England duty together and someone would go, Dave?
No, the big one. Oh, no, you'd tilt your boat all.
I'll say, the strange thing was Bobby Robson, when he had to tell, like, we, before the World Cup in 90, we had a training camp of 26 players, and there was obviously four of us that weren't going to be in the squad to go to Italy. And I always felt that I was number four. But again, me and Dave were rooming together, and Bobby Robson had said, right, you know, I'm going to come round and see the boys later on and tell them, you know, unfortunately, I won't be travelling. And the knock came on our door, and there's me and Dave in the room. And Bobby came in, and typical Bobby, he was always smiling and tries to make a laughter of a situation that obviously is going to be a bit difficult. And he came in, and he looked at me, and he went, Dave, I've got some great news for you. And I'm thinking, he's going with me. And I'm thinking, what's Dave thinking? And he went, Dave, I've got some great news for you. You don't have to train anymore.
Oh, that's so cruel.
But I think I was in good company, because I think it was me and the three other Arsenal boys, weren't it, Dave?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was.
I think it was Alan Smith, Tony Adams, and was it Rocky or was it Michael Thomas?
I think it might have been Michael. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. No, but I, do you know what? That is so weird, because I had something very similar to that with Graham Taylor when they were getting their squad ready for Euro 92. And he said the same. If you don't get a phone call, meet in the room at like 6 o'clock. You know, so okay, so like there's me and Dicko in there, and Dicko was injured, so he knew he wasn't going. No phone call. So I go to the meeting and I walk in and I see Chris Woods, Nigel Martin, and then I sat down and I was like, surely there's only two of us going. And then Laurie McMenemy came up to me, he went, Dave, he says, what are you doing? I went, I don't know. He went, oh, I need to have a chat with you outside. So I'd gone into the meeting with the lads.
Oh, no.
And then had to be pulled out and then told I weren't going. He took Nigel Martin as his number two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously got back in again, didn't you? You was back in for 96, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was when Terry came up to me and said, right, you're my number one. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Did you find out why they'd missed you off the list beforehand?
Oh, me? Just forgot. Yeah, just forgot about me. Mm. Hmm. Graham Taylor. I remember Pete Benetti coming up to me. I was like, Pete, don't bother, leave it alone. But what I spoke to Ashley Cole a while ago, Bez, and he said to me that when he went to Chelsea, that the winning mentality was so much higher and more expectation than what it was when he was at Arsenal. Which really shocked me. Were you aware of anything like that?
Well, I mean, when I was at Chelsea, it wasn't. I mean, they hadn't won a trophy from 1971, and we got some silverware, but it was only the Zenith Data Trophy. So we had a trip to Wembley against Middlesbrough, and that was the day you lot were doing the World Cup song.
Oh, was it?
And we couldn't do it because I think it was only me and Tony DiRigo. I don't think any of the Middlesbrough boys were in this. Oh, Pally might have. No, Pally. Would Pally have been in it?
I'm not sure. Could have been.
He might have been in the initial squad. No, he couldn't have been too early, I think. Yeah. Although he might have been, yeah. But, yeah, he done the song, the John Barnes.
Oh, with his rap?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And we were playing a game, so we couldn't go to the recording of that song.
Oh, that was all right. Don't worry. I'm sure you've heard it.
And what's your voice like? Were we missing out?
I normally get put to the back, further away from the microphone. So I've got a cut, unless they want a deep voice,
have been strategic, is what I'm thinking.
As in,
it's just
final.
Dawned on you, hasn't it? They actually made it clash.
Get into a final. I think it was pretty arranged before we got to the final. Yeah. Maybe that was the thing. We were waiting for us to get the final, yeah. So, but no, I mean, David, Chelsea in the days when I was there was a completely different club to, you know, when Abramovich. Well, I think it was when Glenn came to the club, and that was when I more or less left. So. I think he started to change the mentality of the players because he brought players in of the quality of Ruud Gullit and
Vialli
and people like that. Yeah, so he brought big names in and he was getting the backing. So I think it was only when the money came and the bigger players came then that mentality changed. And like, you know, obviously I'm still connected to the club and you can see it and around everywhere you go that they expect to win.
Mm.
And they were on that tremendous run where they, you know, reached finals and won titles under Mourinho. And so, but I wouldn't have thought the contrast was, I mean, when you were there, what was your mentality like?
Yeah, it was, well, we were expected to win, you know, disappointing. If we just got top four, we were like, that was a bad season. You know, we were either winning it or second. And, you know, then hopefully win a trophy, you know, European or FA Cup or League Cup, whatever. But, yeah, it was just something it really surprised me when Ashley said that, you know, and he'd gone through, because he was in the Invincibles, weren't he?
Yeah.
Was he there for the Invincibles?
I'm pretty sure. Did he?
He wasn't
in the, I don't know.
Were the Invincibles not with Nigel?
No. I'd gone as well. Nigel had left. There was Ashley. Oh, was, I think
Adam's
it was Lauren
that's right,
as well.
It was Vieira, wasn't it? It was Vieira and all those boys. Yeah.
Yeah, Sol Campbell, Martin Keown.
Yeah.
I think he was.
Sure,
just...
it was Ashley.
It probably was. Yeah. Yeah.
It was Ashley, wasn't it? You know, and so like for him to say that, after, you know, then he left probably a year later or something, and you know, it was just something that I was really surprised at. But I recently went into. When I did Soccer Aid and they had it at Chelsea, which was like 2 years ago, just before COVID, we were in the home team dressing room. And on the wall, I don't know if you've seen it, but as you must have done, is they've got all their trophies that they've won, like painted on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like that, they won everything, haven't they? And like quite a few times as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's been in recent years. And it has been since Abramovich has come into the club. You know, they've had money to spend, but they brought the success with it. So, you know, you're looking at other clubs that have had lots of money to spend that haven't had the success that Chelsea have had. So, if you've got the money, you've got to spend it wisely. You've got the players that have got that winning mentality. And I think that's you know, when you had John Terry at the club, when you had Didier Drogba, you know, those players had an expectation of the players around them as well. So, and I think that's the other thing that I feel that has changed in the modern day football bit is that you have players that are leaders that, you know, are not frightened to tell someone when they don't think they're doing it, or, you know, they've let someone go and they're not on their toes. They get onto them.
Yeah.
And I just feel that in the modern day, that doesn't happen as much. And I think that because players, for some reason, seem to take offence to being told in no uncertain terms that you know, someone doesn't think they're doing their job properly.
Yeah. That's interesting, actually, because I would say from a media perspective, I have an observation. And obviously, I've never been inside the playing staff. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I just know my dealings when I'm waiting to do post-match interviews after Premier League games. And I've been doing that for eight, nine seasons now. And my observation with Arsenal is that when they lose or they get a result that they don't particularly expect, even if it's a draw, but with maybe lower opposition, it's really difficult to get someone out to talk. And often we get presented with this player's going to do it. Now, often what I do is I'll give sort of three options. It's quite a regular thing that if on the final whistle or sort of 80 minutes, I would send to a floor manager, you know, these are the three people that have been the story of the game. If we could get one of those three. And at Arsenal, hardly ever do you get a say. You know, you're just given someone who's willing to talk. Yeah. And I just wonder whether that represents something within the culture. You know, a lot of other clubs, I mean, there are other ones that are similar to that as well. I'm not saying it's just Arsenal, but I just wonder what that brings with it. Because giving Chelsea as an example, they often put up a lot of the players.
Yeah.
And I thought that contrast going into this weekend is interesting because, as you pointed out, David, you know, Chelsea have been on the receiving end from Arsenal in recent seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but I wonder if that happened again, were you put up all the time and did you mind doing it? Did you have that chance when you were there to say, nah, I'm not going to do it today?
Yeah, we did have the chance to say no. But I think, like with what you're saying, I think it's more that the players are realising now how much pressure they're under. You know, because they haven't performed for the last, what, two seasons now, you know, like they should do. And I just feel that it's, I don't know what it is that they don't want to talk because they're afraid of getting caught out or something.
It's always difficult, isn't it, after a game if you've lost and, you know, there's going to obviously be questions put to you that are going to be quite testing to the fact that, is it the performance, is it the individual, has someone else let the team down? And you've got, I mean, the modern day player is obviously far better coached in you know, doing interviews, handling media situations than we were. Mm. So you do get a lot more people in front of the camera that I think look very comfortable and they speak very well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I suppose it comes back to the leadership thing though, doesn't it? Because I, my team's Wolves and, you know, come rain or shine, whatever, Connor Cody will be put forward.
Yeah.
And does that not also scream that's the character that's lacking a little bit?
Yeah, it's leaders, I mean, isn't it? Leaders.
Exactly. He's a spokesman. He's a leader on the pitch. He's a spokesman for the players in the dressing room. But, you know, like you're saying as well, is it you like to see someone else out there, and that gives them that opportunity to probably start leading as well on the pitch, the fact that they're being put in front of the camera. But I think as well with Connor, they know they've got someone who's fairly secure with what he's going to say. He's an honest player as well. And you know, I think that he's a type that you would like in front of the camera because you know that he's going to give you the truth.
Yeah. A lot of the young lads are good at it. I've noticed Oxlade-Chamberlain when he, probably about two seasons ago now when he first started coming out and saying, and he was brilliant in front of camera. And then you see people like Saka, I just love the way that he is. You know, he just answers the question. He doesn't like try and hide or try and avoid the question. They just answer them straight away. So I think it's because they've got a lot more confidence in what they're doing. But
Hector Bellerin's been brilliant over recent years. He's always one, I think, that fronts up and will talk. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation at the minute as to whether he's going to be staying. But again, if he does go, that's another person, isn't it? Because there were a lot of those characters that were really, really good at media, like Jack Wilshere as well. And I know that's not a huge part. You know, what they do on the pitch is the most important, of course. Yeah. But I just wonder sometimes whether it's all a little bit intrinsically linked.
Yeah. But like Lindsay, you spoke about Bellerin and Jack Wilshere there. They were two players that would give everything on the pitch, like week in, week out. You know, and sometimes it weren't good enough, but they would give everything, and their fans loved them for that. You know, it's a few of the others that just seem to be hiding a little bit, and they're obviously hiding when they're asked to do the press stuff. But right, I can't let Bez go without talking about that penalty save.
Which one?
Which one? You flash fucker. The one. You know which one.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. I remember watching that and I was like, go on, Bez.
Where was you?
Well, I have no idea. Probably on England duty, weren't we?
That's what I'm wondering, because a lot of people that I'd, even the lads that kind of come through the leagues with Wimbledon that had left the season, we kind of, we won the cup, and you know, Kevin Gagey was at Villa at the time. He says, we was on a end of season trip. I was in a bar in Magaluf or something like that, you know, and we're all cheering you on. And you know, so
you need to have a word with the football scheduling gods. You do.
No. Listen, I think I'd prefer to be playing in cup finals and on England duty rather than going on
what did you do trip. Did you know or did you just guess?
I mean, you know, in those days Liverpool were the team, weren't they? You know, they were the best team, the team of the decade. And so we didn't get the opportunity, as we do nowadays, to see every goal, every free kick, you know, every incident you get a chance to look at. And even if it's not, you don't catch it on TV, with all these like Y scouts and things like that, you get the opportunity to look at things. And I was fortunate that we'd seen Liverpool a few times. And on one of the occasions was a semi-final. John Aldridge took a penalty against against the Forest. And this is the start of it.
Is this the sleepover you're having?
This is it, and the dog's barking there.
Is it all dogs, is it?
No, it's not all dogs. But sorry, it's all dogs. Well, you're saying that, we're going away and... we get back to the goalkeeping thing because I don't mind talking about that.
All right, then.
we got to put the dog in like a home, a hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went for a play date.
What? The dogs did. Play date. To see if they get on with the other dogs.
They get used to each other, yeah. So, oh, it's a, you know, those big, what are they called? It's a cavapoo.
Right. Oh. I'm about to get a Yorkie poo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That means it's got littler legs, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit littler.
Yeah, little legs, yeah. Anyway, back to the thing. I mean, I'd seen Aldo take many a penalty, and he done that stutter, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where he came out and stopped just before it, and that's what I thought. The thing was the FA Cup in those days was huge.
It was massive, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was, the build-up was unbelievable, weren't it? You know, from the semi-final, I think we had five games and we didn't win one of those games because our focus was just on the final and everything to build up. The week prior to it is just, you know, media days, training, open training session, and Motti came down, John Motson came down, and Dave, you know, there's never been a penalty saved in the cup final. And and if it just happens this weekend and John Aldridge, he's got 13 out of 13 penalties or something like that this season, what's your thinking? And I told him, like I said, you know, I feel that he does this little stutter, and if I can stand still, he'll go to my left. More often than not, keepers move and, you know, make the mind up for him. So, listen, I still moved.
Yeah.
I can see in the day I've gone, but...
Not that you were still full stretch, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the
good
thing.
It was a proper save.
It was a good save. You know, that's, you know, the thing was from the corner, it was the easiest thing I had to do all day. Like John Barnes clipped it to near post. I dropped it. And it was it was good because, you know, like everyone was like euphoric and Fash jumped to me and was at my knees and things like that. And it kind of kicked me back into, listen, you know, we've still got a game to play here. You know, you haven't done it just because you saved the penalty. So, I mean, it was the fact that we won it was the main thing. You know,
because, but you lifted it as captain as well, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that was huge.
I never forgot like that big smile on your face as well. And you know, I was looking to my last ever game for Arsenal was very similar. You know, I was captain for the day and I lifted it, and it's just, I just wanted to try and get a smile as big as what yours was on the day.
I gotta say, you had it more often than me anyway.
Yeah, but not as captain, mate. Once as captain, that's it.
Those big moments, does time stand still?
I don't know. It's tough to describe because, you know, at the time, in you kind of it's one of the things that if I could have dreamt the night before, it would have been exactly as you dream.
Yeah.
Your dream was going, you know, we're winning 1-0, they get the penalty, I saved the penalty. We win the cup, I go and get the trophy. It would have been your dream.
Yeah.
But when it's actually happening, you're thinking, oh God, you know, like if they scored, you know, we knew that if they had scored, they were going to win the game. That was it. You know, yeah. We was doing our utmost to keep them, and we scored the goal, which was, you know, obviously brilliant from our point of view. But the fact is, if they had scored first, I think we might have lost the game. But then again, that season we lost 2-1 at Anfield and drew 1-1 at our place. So the games were tight.
Yeah. Brilliant. Fairs, it's been amazing having you on, mate.
It's been a pleasure. It's
been great to see you again.
Always good to see you.
What are you up to now, by the way?
I'm not doing it. I'm not, like I say, my body's telling me I should have stopped doing a lot of things earlier, but playing a bit of golf.
Nice. Chilling out.
Doggy play dates.
Yeah, doggy play dates, sleepovers.
Brilliant.
I can't do any sleepovers anymore. I get in trouble.
Brilliant, Bez.
Oh, nice. I like the cushion, by the way, in the background there.
Hey?
Not yours.
I was going to ask you about that, about the old Saints days.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is with me, but I went to Newcastle, you know, after the cup, I went to Newcastle, and they were just starting to change their stadium, and there was a boardroom battle. I had to go. It was like last in, first out, because they needed the money. And then Newcastle became a big club. St James's was a fantastic stadium after I left. I go to Chelsea. They got the dog track round the outside, used to park the disabled cars behind the car, behind the goal. I leave Chelsea. They turn the stadium into a fantastic place to play. I go to the Dell. We play at the Dell. It was a great place to play because it was
great atmosphere.
It was always difficult for the opposing teams, apart from Arsenal, when Wrighty got hat trick against me early on in the season. I think it was 4-1, wasn't it, Dave? I think it was 4-1. But and then I leave Southampton and they go to St Mary's. and then late, really late on, I end up at Brighton and they were playing at the Amex. Not the Amex, that
with Dean.
With Dean, that was it. I can't even remember. Yeah, with Dean. Another running track round the outside, no atmosphere whatsoever. And then a few years later, they're at the Amex, which is a great stadium. So I don't know what it is. I like to think that probably because they got me off the wage bill, they managed to be able to afford it. It'd be a lie.
Who needs a new stadium? You need to go and be on the wage bill for someone who needs a new stadium. Then leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's worth a lot of stadiums.
I don't mind that. Especially modern day salaries would be very nice.
Yeah.
Rafa will be on the phone to come as goalkeeper coach because that stadium. What's happening?
Yeah.
I very much remember seeing you a few times as a kid. It was you and Grobbelaar back in the day.
That would have been
the time where Grobbelaar was going through some.
Yeah, well, that was the thing because that you probably see some of Southampton's best, well, Tiz's best years anyway.
Yeah, I did.
He was just.
We hear a lot about Tiz.
Oh, whatever.
Tiz was brilliant, but he was literally ball. He said to him, "Do what you when you've got the ball, you work your magic. When we've lost the ball, you just find a space. Don't bother trying to tackle. Don't bother, you know, tracking back. Find a space. The other 10 will work their nuts off to get the ball back. Give it to you. You work." And it worked.
And I
fell out with Bawley because it's a bit strange enough because I said to him, I said, you know, you've got to stop giving Tiz all the praise. The media's doing all that. You've got to look after the other 10 players. Because, you know, and in the end, he brought Bruce in.
No.
That was his way of telling me what he thought of me, I think.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Nice one, Buzz.
All right, mate. Lovely.
Chalk. Brilliant. Thanks a lot, mate.
Good to speak, Chalk.
Take care, mate.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
This is a Listening Dog Media Production. Sports Social Podcast Network.